welcome to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Deal.
And Faith is out for this show. She had to go to the airport to drop someone off and make sure that they were okay. And she will be sorely missed this show. But we know we're going to be able to take care of this one today.
Yeah.
Guys, let me tell you, the news is just rifing with all of this Scarlett Johansson Disney nonsense. And, you know, we got to cover it. You know, we gotta really get into this. So for anyone who doesn't know, you know, Scarlett Johansson was a star in, you know, in the Marvel franchise for years, really. She came in on Iron Man.
Iron Man 2.
And she's been a staple in all their promotion, everything. She's been a main character. And, you know, you can argue that, you know, Captain America had a really successful franchise. Iron Man, obviously, really successful franchise. Before the Marvel movies, Hulk had a pretty successful. Now you had...
Well, one.
Yeah.
They had two different Hulk movies.
Two different. One was successful.
Yeah, yeah. We'll only count one of them in there. Yeah. But for the most part, you know, these series have been, you know, when these spinoffs of these individual heroes have been really successful.
Yep.
And that's what you were thinking was going to happen with Black Widow. Now, albeit hers came in late, you know, obviously. Even her character was dead in the original canon of these movies. So, you know, coronavirus happens. And I don't know if you guys remember or not, but they were like promoting. But, you know, when COVID hit, they were still promoting like this thing was going to go on in the theaters. And then somewhere along the way, someone said, you know, finally had some common sense and said, no, we're not going to do it in the theater yet, but we'll put it on the streaming service. And then a little bit past that, someone said, okay, we'll do both as things got better, as things started opening up and such. Now, unfortunately, what that translates to, I mean, you know, box office, you know, it translates differently when you're working with a streaming service, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're not getting those regular box office numbers. Now, something happened along the way after this movie came out with its release on the streaming service and in the movie theater. You know, I don't know how it translates over from a streaming service to gets back to the artist or whatnot, but there's a disagreement between Scarlett Johansson and Disney. So she decides that she's going to sue. Now, Amanda, I really want to get your opinion on this, because here's the thing. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, all of these things make a perfect storm for an artist to really put themselves, like, they put themselves last during all these movies, really. They're, you know, they're a main character, but they don't have their story being told. She's a woman. And so, like, you know, we run through these things either intentionally or unintentionally where, like, it always seems like it's they're the last turn to get their turn. And then when they get their turn, it feels subpar. You know what I mean? Like, what's your opinion on this?
So I was reading an article about it, and the reason there's like such an issue is that on her contract, she said that they were going to put it in the theaters, and they're like, yeah. She's like, because they get a cut of the box office sales, and all the other actors in the Marvel series got to have their own, and hers was a little late. They should have had it before Endgame, honestly. They had it in between the two Avengers if they were doing it properly. But they didn't, and so that came out later, and like Cruella and other movies were, you know, in streaming services. And then Cruella was kind of right in between where like theaters were just opening up, so that was like half and half, but there was no like contractual, you know, issue there, because they kind of knew that was what was going to happen. But she pretty specifically said, like, I don't want that to happen. I want it to be like a box office movie, just like all the other Marvel characters, and give it that release, and, you know, have it be kind of just on par with all the other ones. And they're like, yeah, totally. And we'll let you know if it changes. And then she found out they were streaming it as well. So I know it's kind of hard to have sympathy for people who are like, $50 million,
right,
dang.
Right.
Like, you know, when they have hundreds of millions. But it's the principle of the thing, because if this was a dude actor, I don't think that would happen, first of all. Also, none of them are saying anything. They're real quiet about it, which I think is a little, yeah, because they're all like band together, but also that's her thing.
Right.
Which is cute. That happens a lot.
John, you know, where do you sit on this, you know, on the initial? Because, you know, details aren't fully out yet, right? We don't have every detail, every nuance. But what is your feeling about, you know, this topic?
Well, I think the interesting thing about this is the fact that you still have, well, first of all, she had an exclusive theatrical release contract.
Exactly. Mm.
You know, so the idea that Disney turned around and put it on the Premiere Plus on Disney, or mm-hmm. Premiere Access on Disney Plus, that should never have happened. Plus, also, Disney had an ulterior motive in that they make more money off of the streaming service than they do off of the box office.
See? Mm-hmm.
You know, because that goes all straight to them. They don't have to split it with the movie theaters and the distribution mm-hmm. companies and all that other stuff. Also, too, you have Spider-Man No Way Home mm-hmm. with Tom mm-hmm. Holland, and I think it's Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings coming out.
Absolutely.
Which both also still have exclusive theatrical releases that Disney has not said that they're putting those on
the streaming service
Disney Plus. So, you know, you're having double standards there, you know.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I think that there's a timing thing. So companies can do the right thing
mm-hmm.
but sheer numbers and money, they'll often choose the wrong way to do business.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the thing. So you have this coronavirus. This is a tremendous impact on the movie industry, by the way. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You got every town, every hometown has a movie theater that some kid worked in for, you know, set amount of months or years. And it had some kind of impact in their lives. And that's a lot of kids in America, mm-hmm. you know, working. And, you know, honestly, there's a lot of adults in America working in movie theaters. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, you know, getting these things to the movies and getting people out there, you know, that those things ceased to exist when coronavirus was happening. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And so, you know, they could have gone the right way and say, hey, listen, we can fix this one or two ways, or a mixture of both. You know, we all know Scarlett Johansson is rich mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. she'll play in anything. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we've seen it. So they could have guaranteed her a $10 million a movie piece, three movie deal for the future, where it's guaranteed money. So uh-huh. any money that she lost, you know, here in this, she would have picked up in potential movies. You, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like she's not relevant. You know, people watch the movie either in the movie theater or they watch it in the streaming service. I mean, what do you feel like a good path forward would be? Just give her, you know, what she potentially lost, or give her an extra movie deal, you know, keep her relevant, and, you know, how do you feel about that?
Well, she's not going to be irrelevant. She's not going to get work from this.
Yeah.
But the frustrating thing is that all of these superhero movies, it's like there's not a lot of women leads.
Yeah.
It's like Wonder Woman has had a couple movies, not really, but Batman, Superman, like all those dudes, thousands of movies all the time, every year, a new version. So I think that they should have just done the right thing in the first place and given her the spotlight that all her male co-stars have.
Yeah. John, how do you feel? What do you think the path is for it?
You know, I don't know. I think it may hurt her career, because, I mean, if she's going to go up and sue a studio like Disney, other studios may look at that and go, I don't know if I want to get sued. So,
you know,
it may not touch her.
I want to cover that one after the break. Folks, you're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lindy.
And we'll be right back.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
Big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as New Amsterdam, for supporting our radio community. Craft Cannabis now has two locations here in Vancouver. Both locations offer online ordering and curbside pickup. The Mill Plain location has an express window that serves as a contactless option to pick up your cannabis products. The newest shop is located on Andreessen Road, off Patton Parkway, next to the Home Depot, across from Costco. Both locations are open daily, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
Welcome back to the Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Mandolin Deal.
You know, before we go into the break, folks, we're talking about the Scarlett Johansson suing Disney, the path forward, you know, women in industry. And John had brought up a really good point about, you know, could this impact her career negatively? You know, she's suing a mega giant company, right? Mm-hmm. And you're Scarlett Johansson, but let's be honest. I mean, you could go from being Scarlett Johansson playing Black Widow to Jennifer Lawrence playing Black Widow, mm-hmm. if they tell the story right. You know what I mean? It, you know, I don't know. Amanda, do you, like, when there is a contract dispute, because okay, if anyone doesn't know, Amanda is a pretty premier comedian in the Portland, Pacific Northwest area, you know. Let me just run down some credentials. She just went on Portland's Funniest here and made it to the next round, and that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. But
semifinals. Like,
she knows Thursday. What it's like in the industry. And my question to you, I guess, is that in the industry, if there's like someone says, "Hey, we want you to do this show," and they're not speaking the language that's equitable to you,
Or I find out that I'm doing the same amount of time, getting paid less, which has happened, or I'm promised something and then I don't get it.
Okay, so let's talk about, so in industry, as a woman in industry, how prevalent are these acts?
So in Scarlett Johansson's case, I think that her, you know, suing could negatively impact her in a way because, you know, like you said, big company doesn't look great. People might not want to work with her after that. But it's unfortunate because most people don't sue Disney.
Right.
You know, they just kind of let it go.
I mean, it's a huge company.
Yeah. So I think it was a smart thing and a bold thing and honestly something that like kind of helps other people hopefully in the future not get taken advantage of. And the lesson shouldn't be, well, I don't want to hire this person because they might sue me. The lesson should be, I'm not going to mess with this person and I'm not going to mess with other people and I'm going to pay them fairly.
There you go.
That should be the lesson. But instead it's like, oh, this person's causing trouble. We'll just like not hire them anymore or something. And I've definitely, you know, went up to people or messaged people and I was like, I don't know if your math was right, but you can scroll up in our messages and you said $50, you handed me $40 and walked away. It's kind of weird. What happened? You know?
Yeah.
Just kind of say something.
You know?
Which is hard. They might not want me to come back, but I don't want to go to a show that's going to do that to me.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Why would you?
Mm-hmm.
John, I mean, have you seen any situations where someone was paid less than or negatively impacted because of, you know, race or gender? I mean, like, have you ever seen that in the industry as well?
Well, not in the show entertainment industry, because here in the low power FM radio, we all get paid nothing. But in jobs that I've worked at, oh, definitely. Oh. But I think one of the things that we need to take a look here is that, like Amanda said about Scarlett Johansson really just taking the lead here, is that I think this is an extension of the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's not, you know, there's no sex scandal here or anything, but it is an extension of the empowerment of women and what they can do and how they can advocate for themselves and each other in the industry.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Let me tell you something. You know, as a person that comes from a marginalized community, I mean, you brought this up earlier. I'm not somebody that's going to be out here, you know, being Norma Rae for rich people. I mean, like, part of me here is just like, you know what? Those are rich people problems. You out of $100 million, honey, you only got $50 million. You know what?
Heck.
Oh, man. You know, but you brought up a good point. From a principal standpoint, you can't let someone who is in a position that is a role model for little girls or a role model for women or a pioneer, you know, in the field of industry as a woman. You don't want to, you know, cut them down for saying, hey, I want to be paid equitably. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the same treatment as, you know, as the next person here. And I want to do the same amount of work for the same amount of pay. You know what I mean? I think that is something that can translate well from the top all the way down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me tell you something. I have worked in multiple industries that were female. It's felt like female led. You know what I mean? Like I'm a trained baker. And by the sheer nature of the industry that, you know, that I watched when I was, you know, first going in, because, you know, I started working in an artisan bakery. But I noticed that a lot of bakers were women. I mean, and this is a trade, you know, baking is a trade. It's a science. Mm-hmm. It's something you have to learn, something that you can mess up, you know. But that was a female-led, you know, but the pay there for bakers, I mean, these are backbreaking hours, you know what I mean? And it's not very much. And then you look at women that go into male-predominant industries, and they go in there and they could be twice as good as the guy that they're working next to and making like just over half of what that guy is making. And you just have to like really look at our society and just be like, you know, what is going on here? You know, women make up about half of the populace. How is it possible to shortchange half of the populace. And then I go back to that old train of thought. Well, this is America, so so I mean, you know, anything's possible.
All over the world too.
Yeah,
I mean, as far as people not being treated well, especially women, are doing things like free labor, like, you know, being a stay-at-home mom is a job.
That is a job,
and it never ends. And you know, people think they're lazy because they're not going to work, but like, kids are a lot. I babysit, I get paid for it. It's nice, but I get to clock out and go home, you know.
yeah absolutely. John, you know, your wife is an activist that she's an inspiration to me and many people that I know who are in the movement, in the progressive movement, you know what I mean? And I know she worked really, really hard, but I've seen her have to corral cats just to get people, you know, organized and stuff. And here's the thing, here's the point that I'm making is, it's like, oftentimes women leaders in the movement, in our movement, are underappreciated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just like, they kind of get, when it's time to give someone a title or an award or something, like, you can appreciate them all day long, but when it's time to appreciate them, they get overlooked for like the next mediocre man below them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, I know you've seen Paulina go, you know, work really, really hard. What is that like to watch firsthand all the work she puts into it? And then, you know, now, I feel like Paulina is celebrated, but we know that in the establishment, you know, women just don't get appreciated how they should.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. You brought it home about the, you know, the stay-at-home mom. You know, I would pit Paulina's knowledge of education and healthcare against a whole myriad of people, and she would blow them away. But just because she doesn't work in that industry doesn't mean that she doesn't have the knowledge and everything to back that up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's been able to pull that together because she has been the mom that's gone to the you know, educational meetings, and she has done the studying and the research on all this stuff. But yeah, you're right. So, you know, as far as like recognition and everything, it's not really there. But on top of that, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, you know, it shouldn't be that Scarlett Johansson or any woman should have to sit there and fight for what they need, or, you know, what they deserve, what they've earned.
What they were promised, too.
What they were promised. Mm-hmm. But you have these conglomerates like Disney and all these other, you know, big corporations who just, they're going to keep getting away with it unless...
Oh, yeah.
We as the people stand up and back folks like Scarlett Johansson and all these other folks who are, you know, obviously making a ton of money, but they're also making a stand.
Who's the gymnast? Simone Biles? Let me tell you something. I have never seen so many people take shots at a girl, at a woman who is so good in her field. And I want to come back to this after the break. You know what, guys? We want to come back to this after the break. You're listening to The Rogue Apology Show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lindell.
And we'll be right back.
KXRW Radio would like to thank our newest local sponsor, Fusion CBD, located just off of Highway 99 in Hazeldell. Fusion CBD offers a wide variety of whole plant, full spectrum, hemp-derived wellness products, from premium hemp flower to edibles, topicals, and pet products. Fusion CBD has what's right for your mind, body, and budget. That's Fusion CBD at 9102 Northeast Highway 99 in Vancouver or at FusionCBD.com. Court-appointed special advocates for children, known as CASA, are volunteers who advocate for the best interest of children who have come into the care of the state as a result of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. You can lend your voice and volunteer with CASA to change a child's story. CASA offers virtual information sessions and training. If interested, now is the time to get involved with CASA and make a lasting difference in the lives of children and families in the foster care system. Clark County CASA is a program of the YWCA Clark County. More information available at CASAClarkCounty.org.
We're back on The Rogue Apostle Show. I'm James.
And I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lindell.
Hey, folks, we're talking about Scarlett Johansson and suing Disney and the impacts of coronavirus and just the you know, the the status of women in industry, period. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we kind of went down the path here and we're on, you know, Simone Biles here from the Olympics. Now, here's a person that made a decision due to mental health reasons to not compete at the Olympics. Now, that's the highest level that it can get. Lots of exposure there. And, you know, when someone makes a decision, I mean, this is her livelihood. This is what she's known for. So to make a decision, this deep, you can't say that this is something that's done lightly. But because it's mental health, and I feel, in my opinion, because it's a woman, I just feel like people didn't appreciate it as much as they could, the significance of the moment of saying, hey, listen, my mental health comes first. I think that in industry, I think that everyone is, you know, what they say often is business is business, right? So you get away with bad behavior because business is business. It comes down to numbers and such. And I think it's a significant moment when someone says, you know, hold on one second. I'm going to need a break here. You know, I need to. And so, you know, Amanda, like, in your profession of being a comedian, like, have you had to take a mental break from your industry, and how was it received if you had to?
Unfortunately, I never did, even when I should have, because I, you know, it's like, you got to hustle, you got to, you know, perform, you got to get better. And if you stop, then someone who's newer could, you know, work their way up more than you, you know, faster than you, or get a show that you want or something. So I never did, and it was bad, and I should have, and it like literally took coronavirus telling all of us to stay home for me to like actually start to think about that, to the point where I almost didn't want to go back out and perform, because I didn't want to fall back into like drinking too much or just kind of getting caught up in that whole world and not taking care of myself.
You know, I want to follow up on that though. And so when you were talking about someone else climbing up behind you now, here's the thing. We notice in music and in sports, there's often like a king of New York or a king of Mississippi or a king of this industry or a king of that industry. And, you know, the fear that you have to not take a break, I think it falls in line with the mindset that there can only be one queen.
Yeah, that's anything. Definitely women. We're kind of taught to be competitive with each other a lot, not just for like men's attention, you know, to be like pretty or attractive or whatever. But in industries where it's all men, if you take a break, then it's just going to keep being more men. And if women take a break because they weren't treated fairly, then there's less of those voices. So it's like, I have to do it not just because I don't want to fall behind, but I grew up and figured out pretty early that like there can be a lot of women in comedy. I prefer when I look at the open mic list and it's like half and half, but that never happens.
Right. John, I got a question for you. You know, you've worked in a myriad of industries and such. And did you ever notice that, you know, if there were women that were working in your industry that, you know, it was harder, just blatantly obvious that it was harder for them to be working in that industry or whatnot, or like, or just, you know, watch them have to do, you know, twice as much work for recognition?
Well, sure. I mean, I worked in software sales for a lot of years. And one of the things was that, I mean, obviously sales is a tough gig because you're always having to, be doing stuff because, you know, if you take any PTO time or whatever, then you're not making money. I would say it's doubly so for women though, because, you know, they do have time that they're going to take off, whether it's maternity leave or whatever. And I can see that it's even that much harder for them because of the fact that they're pressured to come back to work, even though they also have the pressure of wanting to take care of their newborn.
Or having to,
right. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just, you know, the idea that there's more pressure on women is, it's not even an idea, it's a reality.
Right. You know, I often think, you know, about this a lot. You know, we watch female leaders in our government, and you know, if a man were to get up on a stage and make a speech about an issue or whatnot, you know, they have these test groups where they're like, well, how do you feel, you know, about this guy that's talking about this? And someone's saying, well, he's brave and he's speaking out, and you know, I like that quality in, you know, in a leader. And then they have these same folks group, and it's almost the identical speech that they did for these folks, and she was too loud, and
yeah, they don't like women talking to them,
too outspoken, and she exhibit qualities that were not He's what they bossy. Look for in a leader, you yeah. know? And, it, you know, it's just so hard to, like, watch this. You know, me for me, honestly, you know, I love a strong woman. I love someone who talks a lot of smack, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's my jam, you know what I mean? And I just don't understand. I mean, I just don't understand how those type of women can be, because those are powerful ladies, right? Mm-hmm. How they can be, you know, submitted in society, but then, you know what? That's what society does, you know what I mean? And it's heartbreaking to watch, because these, I mean, if a lot of these women are smarter than me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they could take us so much further in society, mm-hmm. but they're just taught to not talk.
Well, we'll take a look at, let's go to Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany. Or even Margaret Thatcher. Go back to the 80s and with British Prime Minister. And a lot of times their folks are not interested in what issues they're talking about or what programs they're trying to present. It's like, well, I didn't really like the color of her pantsuit today.
Oh, God. Yeah, they'll talk about their appearance more than like their mind.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Exactly.
Let me tell you something. AOC from New York, mm-hmm. Nina Turner, Cori Bush, all those leaders out there. I mean, they are, yeah, you know, this is the future, honestly, mm-hmm. of politics. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had to vote in every election, it will always be a progressive woman. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just there. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, you know, yeah, you're right. You're like, one of the first things they were saying about AOC is like, oh, look at the way she's dressed, or, you know, the college that she came from. Did she get the right degree? Her hair.
Well, what about mm-hmm. that thing where she was doing that dance video when she was in college? And yeah. It's like, oh my God, what is this now? Footloose?
Yeah.
Now we're going to shut down dancing?
Yeah.
I just. It's
dumb. And like what you're saying with the different speeches, definitely like with comedy as well. Like men can say awful things, but if a woman tells like sexual jokes, they're like, you can't talk like that.
Oh my God.
Like you need to be a lady. Where if I'm like bossy and I tell someone to be quiet,
I went on the
show.
Had to
kick out so many dudes for being disrespectful in the audience, to me specifically, but they're like, that guy was funny. I don't like her. And I'm like, okay,
Amanda brought me on the circuit. And let me tell you something. I went on the circuit with her, and she was oftentimes the funniest person in the room. But you know, you get enough small genitalia. Your jokes, and you're just, I'm exhausted. I'm like, hey, listen, you're telling this joke as much as you are. I'm starting to believe you, my guy. Yeah, like, what is going on?
No, it's fun. I have this joke too that it's like every time I hear women laugh, or I can see men like cross their arms and tighten their butts, like both give me power. So I got you. Because I get these looks sometimes where they just like, I hate you because you're talking. And I'm like, cool, man. I'm going to talk right to you then. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. Folks, you're listening to The Rogue Apostle Show. This has been a really great show. I'm James.
I'm John.
I'm Amanda Lynn Beal.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Domestic violence is not okay, and it's on the rise, especially now during this time of COVID-19. Domestic violence comes in many forms, such as physical abuse, verbal, financial, sexual, stalking, and technological abuses. If you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, we can help. The Vancouver Police Department and the YWCA are here for you. You are not alone, even in this time of crisis. You can call the YWCA at 360-695-0501 or call 911 for the police. You can also find helpful information about the Safe Choice Domestic Violence Program at ywcaclarkcounty.org and in Portland at ywcapdx.org.